Good morning, everybody. If you want to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, if you've got Bibles, we're going to be looking at that chapter this morning. And really continuing, I guess, a theme of worship and prayer. You know, we've been looking at prayer throughout January, and Ed and I have been taking out different things that we feel that God has been saying through the month and then bringing them to you. This particular passage, verses came up in words that were shared throughout the month, and so I want us to focus on it this morning. So I'm going to read starting from verse 1. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites with some of the Maonites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar," that is in Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, "Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before the temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us.' But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance? Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." All the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and a descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jerul. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Korathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they had finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the Valley of Baraka, where they praised the Lord. This is why it's called the Valley of Baraka to this day. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets. The fear of God came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for God had given him rest on every side. What a passage of scripture. I've called this message From Battle to Baraka. Baraka means blessing or praise. How do we move from battle to Baraka? Not that I'm telling any of you should move from battle, you understand. But how do we move from battle to Baraka? You know, as we seek God's heart for our community and move forward as a church, we're going to face battles. The enemy, you know, the forces of evil, the principalities and powers do not want to see God's kingdom advance and will oppose any move of God among his people. How can we be ready for that? In both our personal lives and our church lives, we face battles. You know, there's people in the church at this time facing acute personal difficulties. Some of those will be known to others, some not known. One thing I want to say to you is, if that's you, don't struggle alone. Talk to your leaders here who care about you. Talk with other trusted brothers and sisters who will stand with you and will pray for you. You know, this is crucial. As any one of us, though, moves forward in our walk with God, there is a real possibility we'll come under attack of some sort. You know, things might start to get really difficult. Out of the blue, a relationship that was great might suddenly become really strained. We might come under threats at work. We may experience financial pressure or a sudden knock in our health. How do we move from battle to blessing? How do we change the spiritual atmosphere in our lives and in our church and our community from one of fear and worry and anxiety to one of freedom and praise? In 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat enters a different season in his reign. Back in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, we read that God established Jehoshaphat and brought him peace, and how he protected his kingdom from attack, both from within and from the surrounding kingdoms who lived in fear of the Lord. And we experience these seasons, both personally and as a church, where God protects us by holding back the enemy so that there's not even any sign of attack, which is really great. And probably, if we're honest, that's our personal preference. But now Jehoshaphat enters a different season where God allows the enemy to attack because he wants to show his people something different. He wants them to experience his protection and his victory in a different way. And so we read that the Moabites and the Ammonites have come to wage war against Jehoshaphat. And when Jehoshaphat hears of this vast army coming towards him, he's alarmed. But his response, as we've read, is a great one. What do we do in times of great opposition? Do we panic? Or do we despair? Or do we hide away? Or just give in? Or do we start trying to control the uncontrollable and fire out strategies left, right and centre to try and manage the situation? Or do we just try and deny that there's a problem at all? If we recognize the sovereignty of our God and the spiritual nature of the war that is waged against us, we will do as Jehoshaphat did. We will seek the Lord in prayer first and foremost. I mean, just look at the prayer meeting that Jehoshaphat calls. It seems he had no problem at all getting people to turn up to it. And he proclaims a fast in all Judah, and people come from every town, and they gather to seek help from God. When our lives are in danger, when our relationships come under threat, when Satan is trying to disrupt and cause chaos and thwart God's purposes in our lives, we need to make that space to seek God and to fast in prayer as a matter of urgency. Jehoshaphat dropped everything else, and he called his people to pray, because God is the one who can change things, not us. Jehoshaphat leads the people in prayer in an extraordinary way. He acknowledges the sovereignty of God. He recalls God's goodness to his people. And then he acknowledges their weakness, which includes his own as king, as leader. He acknowledges that he is weak and can do nothing to stop this army. And Jehoshaphat asks God to act on their behalf, saying, "We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. You are our God.
You give us vision. You lead us forward. You make a way. We rely totally on you. It's all in your hands, God, and we trust you. We look to you. In fact, think about it. Jehoshaphat's really saying to the people he's leading, don't look at me, as many of them might have done. Look to God. Our eyes are on you. Who do we look to in our lives? And then God speaks, in this case through Jahaziel. The Spirit of God falls on this guy who's among the gathered assembly praying. And we read he's of the Levitical line. He is a priest. And now he's a prophet. See, God, in this case, doesn't speak from the front. He doesn't speak from a leader. You know, their leader's already said he doesn't know what to do. He speaks through Jahaziel. We need more Jahaziels in the church. We need to be prepared to listen to God, but also to be his mouthpiece when he speaks and not to hold back. Are we ready for that? It would have been so easy for Jahaziel to try and just shrink into the background and not to stand up and to speak. We all feel like that at times. But we need to realize we're all priests because of Jesus, which means that we're all called to speak and act on God's behalf and minister his grace to one another and to our community. This is our calling. Let's step into it. Let's ask God to anoint us for this task, to fill us with the Holy Spirit as he did with Jahaziel. Don't wait always for someone else to speak the words of God. Don't always look to leaders as if everything God would ever want to say is going to be said from the front, because it's not. This isn't how God works. He wants to use each one of us. Start speaking the words of God yourself as you listen to him. Step into a new anointing. What was the message God spoke through Jahaziel? Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. So often God says this, do not fear. The battle is not yours, but it's God's. And actually, it always has been. You see, the church is not yours, but it's God's. The mission is not yours, but it's God's. And the glory is not yours, but it is God's. God is the God who fights for us. We are weak, he is strong. If God is for us, who can be against us? If we are on his side, we have nothing to fear. Whose side are you on? Are you on God's side? Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Because it isn't God's will for your life that you live in fear. God has given you a spirit of courage, of boldness, of power, love, and self-control, as we read in 2 Timothy. And then Jehoshaphat bows with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem with him, because they recognize God has spoken. They worship God. And then the Levites of the Korathites and Korahites, I think their post must have got mixed up quite often, they stood up to praise God in a loud voice. There was this eruption of spontaneous praise from this group among the people. But it's not so random, because these were the people responsible for ministering in song before the presence of God. They were the choir of Israel. And so they stood up to lead the people in praise and worship. Praise God for the Korathites and indeed the Korahites among us. You know, not just the ones up here, but the ones among you who lead us in praise. May your exuberance and your passion in song inspire us all to greater freedom in praising God. You see, I think as a church, we want to break into new ground in our worship and prayer life, don't we? Yes. We want to see battles won in the name of Jesus and see blessing released in our church and our town, don't we? Yes. Then we need the Jahaziels, the Korathites and the Korahites. We need to enter more fully into the freedom which the Spirit brings and not hold back. You know, we want to change the spiritual atmosphere in our town and enter ourselves into a new place of intimacy with our Father God. So we need our faith to rise up and give us boldness in the face of opposition. You see, when the toughest battles come our way, we want to be those who praise God with all our hearts and see his mighty power and glory revealed. So you see, after this time of praise and worship, the people got ready to go out and face the enemy. But they already knew
that God was the one who was going to have the victory. And they had faith in this. Jehoshaphat said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you will be successful." Do we have faith in the Lord? Do we believe in his promises? Jehoshaphat certainly did, or else he wouldn't have sent out singers at the front of his army. You know, he didn't send out swordsmen or chariots, but worship leaders. No offense, Joe, or any other worship leaders among us. But he sent out a bunch of singers to go and face this army. But you see, he knew that these were the heralds of God's victory. They were already going out singing songs of praise and thanks for what God was about to do. So what looked like a crazy decision in human terms was actually a shrewd military strategy in terms of spiritual warfare. Because it was as they began to sing and praise that the Lord set ambushes against the enemy armies. You know, even in the times of the deepest adversity and struggle and trial in our lives, when we praise and worship God, it seems as if something kind of shifts. You know, something shifts almost in the heavenly realms, and it seems as if the atmosphere changes and deliverance starts to come, and God's kingdom can start to come in our lives. You know, as we see the enemy armies turned on one another and were defeated as the people of Judah worshipped the Lord their God and gave him the glory. Worship is a powerful weapon against the forces of evil. Don't underestimate it. Just look at Paul and Silas in prison in Acts 16. It was as they sang hymns to God, you know, despite their harsh beating and imprisonment, that all the chains fell off, that freedom came, not only to them, but to the people all around them. And I believe we need to step up in our worship life as God's people if we want to move into a new season of grace and blessing, a new experience of God's power, which may well be birthed through trial and struggle. But read this. Verse 26 says, "On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka, where they praised the Lord." This is why it's called the Valley of Baraka to this day. What could have been the valley of their defeat, what looked like it was going to be the valley of their slaughter, became the valley of God's blessing, a valley of praise and worship to God because of the great victory he had won for his people. So it is in the situations in our lives which threaten to overwhelm us, or circumstances which come against us as a church. They too can become the very source of praise and blessing, because such is the greatness and the goodness and the power of the God who we worship. Just look at the cross. From battle to blessing. The place where it seemed that the enemy had won, where darkness seemed to consume the light of the world, the greatest battlefield of all, became the place where God had his greatest victory of all, the ultimate victory over sin and death for us. It was the battle we could never fight ourselves, but the one Jesus won on our behalf. And it is in light of Christ's victory on the cross for us, his triumph over the evil one and all his associates, that we have victory over our enemies and confidence in God to deliver us. It's through the cross that we can enter into the blessings of God, from battle to baraka, battle to blessing. So we need to be those who fix our eyes on Jesus, our Redeemer and our Saviour, and worship God and give him the glory and thanks for the victory he has already won on our behalf. Our greatest weapon is our worship of God. Just imagine with me for a moment the place where we live, aptly called battle. Imagine if this became a place of God's blessing, where people come here not because of the battle that took place in the past, but because of all God is doing right now. Because this is a place where people discover God. Because this is a place where people look and think God's at work there. We want to find out what it's all about. In our lives, can the greatest trials we face turn into the places where God's victory and blessing is most clearly seen? It all depends on whether we will seek God earnestly with all our heart, as Jehoshaphat and his people did, and worship him. It depends on the Jahaziels and the Korathites and the Korahites. Will we be those who speak the words of God and who worship him passionately? If we do, we will advance in praise and thanks to God, trusting in the victory he will bring. Amen.